The following is a Maha Mantra meditation lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on April 27th, 2011, in Elektronai, Lithuania.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapara Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha. So, thank you very much for coming today for our program. I have come to your city to teach you about the mantra meditation. Today it's a spring day and everyone's very happy to enjoy the nice spring day. But it's not always a nice spring day. But through the art of mantra meditation, you can always be experiencing a wonderful spring day within your heart. There is an outer world, and there is an inner world. The outer world is known as the world of dualities. Happiness and distress, pain and pleasure, health and sickness, wealth and poverty, honor and dishonor. This is the world of dualities. We can never actually be all fully peaceful in this world of dualities. Because it's always being disrupted this way and that way by this thing and that thing. But through the art of meditation, you can connect with the inner world where there is perfect stability. Everything is beautiful. Everything is wonderful. Everything is sublime. All the time. So, throughout history, great personalities have mastered this art of meditation. In this way, they have become completely free from all the distress of this material existence. But now, people don't really know how to meditate properly. That's the problem. Many people teach meditation, but actually it's not real meditation. What they're actually teaching is concentration. To fix your mind on one point. But if your mind is fixed on a point that is still within the realm of dualities, that's concentration, is not meditation. It takes a bona fide spiritual master who has actually realized that truth beyond the dualities to teach you how to properly meditate. There is a transcendental existence beyond time and space. The bona fide spiritual master has access to that realm. And if you learn how to meditate from the bona fide spiritual master, you will also gain access to that realm. So I was very fortunate to come into the contact of a bona fide spiritual master. Actually, I met quite a few cheaters along the path of self-realization who taught me different meditation techniques. But they were actually concentration techniques, they weren't meditation. Because they did not liberate me from the world of dualities. One teacher taught me to turn off all the lights in the room, light a candle, and then sit and stare at the candle. Because the candle was still within the realm of dualities. My candle meditation did not liberate me from the realm of dualities. Another guru taught me to chant this mantra. Aing, 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 aing. Because that mantra was actually, that mantra is a bona fide mantra in the Vedas. But it is also stated in the Vedic wisdom. Sampradaya vihina ye mantrashte nishpalamata. If the mantra you have received is coming from a spiritual master who is not an authorized guru in the line of teachers, the mantra has no potency. So because the teacher was not actually a bona fide teacher, even though the mantra was a genuine mantra from the Vedas, it did not have the potency to liberate me from the realm of dualities. So I was stuck. The candle meditation didn't work. Aing, aing, aing didn't work. So how do I learn how to meditate? I was looking for a teacher. But then one day, a friend of mine introduced me to a mantra. And this mantra is what we just sang a few minutes ago. It goes like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I tried that mantra. And it was amazing. When I chanted that mantra, I was carried in a whole other world. It's like a magic carpet. I was carried into a world beyond time and space. But I was still here at the same time. It was amazing. Can you imagine being not here and being here at the same time? So that's what this Hare Krishna mantra did for me. My first impulse was to leave the Western world and go to India and just become a mendicant in India. But then I realized that's being selfish. The whole world is suffering. How can I just abandon it? If I found something wonderful that liberates me, I must share it with the world. Instead of just hiding out in some holy place in India and chanting my mantra, I understood my mission is to stay here in the world society and to give this mantra so the whole world can become liberated. So that was 40 years ago. Actually, it was 42 years ago.
Yeah.
A little over 42 years ago, I realized I have to stay in the world and try to liberate the world. And then it was 40 years ago, I was formally initiated into this process by my teacher. His divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharja Astatarazadashi Shimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Bring that Prabhupada book here so I can show them the picture. This is my wonderful guru, Prabhupada, for sure. He saved me from this world of birth and death. Through this powerful mantra. And the beauty of this system is that even if you think, well, that's an Indian mantra, I can't chant that, that's Hindu. I'm a Christian, I couldn't chant that. But this science is so wonderful that you can apply the same principle to chanting the name of Christ. Or if you're a Muslim, you can chant the name of Allah. This mantra meditation science is not a sectarian religion. It's a universal science of spiritual awakening. That anybody from any religion can do it. Even an atheist can chant Hare Krishna and have the most wonderful transcendental experience. So this word that we use, mantra, man means mind, and tra means deliverance. So a mantra is a transcendental sound vibration that delivers the mind. What does it deliver your mind from? We have three problems. One is temporality. We want to live forever. But yet we are dragged by the laws of nature to death. Do any of you nice people here today want to die? If you would like to die, raise your hand. No one wants to die? But you are forced to die by the laws of nature. This is a problem. It's a problem the scientists have not solved yet. They have given us electricity. They've given us microphones. They've given us MP3 recorders. They've given us video recorders. They've given us pianos. But they have not given us immortality. And they will never be able to give us immortality. Even Einstein, with all of his big, big brain, could not stop his death. But this mantra, meditation science, will make you deathless. It will solve your death problem. Another problem we have is we're in a state of illusion. We're in the darkness. We cannot see things as they are. But through this mantra meditation science, you become full of knowledge. Not simply some book knowledge you read in a book. But you will have experience, personal experience of what is the absolute truth. you'll be able to perceive the absolute truth within everything. And everything within the absolute truth. And the third problem is misery. We're not always as happy as we like to be. Even if someone says, well, I'm happy. Then we ask them, are you happy all the time? They say, well, not really. You see, we suffer so many anxieties. We were going down the street yesterday, day before yesterday, in Kaunas. It was a beautiful spring day, and the flowers are blooming, the sun is out, it's nice and warm and comfortable. I saw one young man with his girlfriend standing there in the street corner. Their faces were full of misery. So we have this problem, we're miserable in this world. Well, the mantra meditation science solves that problem also. When you chant mantra, as taught to you by the bona fide spiritual master, you tap into a reservoir of unlimited bliss. Even if you're in the middle of a desert, if you have a pipeline to a reservoir of unlimited water, you will have unlimited water for all your needs. So this Krishna meditation that we do, it is a pipeline to a reservoir of unlimited bliss. Simply by chanting the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And one becomes connected with that ocean of transcendental bliss. So there's one very important lesson that we have to learn if we are going to be successful in chanting the mantra. And I would like to give you a little story to illustrate this lesson. One time there was a wedding party. See, in India, a wedding is a very big thing. A boy from one village, he marries a girl from the other village, you see. And the whole village celebrates the weddings. It's big, big celebration, you see. So the villagers from one village, they're coming to the other village for the wedding going to be the next day. And they come to a big body of water. And they need to take, there's no bridge, so they have to take a boat. But the sun is just setting. And the ferrymen, they're going to sleep for the night. So they say, boatman, boatman, wake up, wake up. It's an emergency. We have to be on the other side of the water by the morning. So you kindly, we'll give you some extra money. You kindly row all night so we can make it in time for the wedding. So the boatman say, well, if you give us some extra money, we'll do it. So all the villagers, they get in the boat, the big ferry boat, and the boatmen, they're rowing the whole night, rowing, rowing, rowing. And when the sun comes up in the morning, the villagers look and they say, well, this boat hasn't moved anywhere. Boatman, what have you been doing? You've been sleeping all night? No, we've been rowing the whole night. You paid us, we've been rowing the whole night. Well, Boatman, why are we still sitting here in the same place? Why we haven't moved anywhere? The boat went, oh no, we forgot to pull the anchor in. So they rowed the whole night, working so hard in the dark, rowing. That boat didn't go anywhere, you see. So this is a very important point when you take up this mantra meditation system. You can't leave the anchor stuck in the mud. You have to pull out the anchor. So now I'm going to tell you, what is the anchor? The anchor is the bodily conception. If you think, I'm a woman, or if you think, I'm a man, you are stuck in the mud. Because you're not that body. That body is just a covering. It's like I have this chadar here that I brought back from India. Is it me? No. I'm me with the chadar. And I'm me without the chadar. I'm still the same person, with or without the chadar. So, your body is simply like a chadar. You're wearing the body of a woman or a man right now. That's how you're wearing it. It's simply a garment. And at a certain point, when it gets old and worn out, you will throw it away. But you will continue to exist. So mantra meditation takes you beyond your body. But if you think, no, I am a man. Or you think, no, I am a woman. Then you're not going to be able to, this mantra won't take you to the transcendental platform. You have to reaffirm within your own mind, I am not this body. I am a spiritual being in quality, one with God. I am the eternal servant of God. So if you will reaffirm this spiritual nature of your identity within your own heart, you'll reaffirm it to yourself. You will tell yourself that I am not the body, I am the spirit soul servant of God. And remind yourself of this regularly. And you will also meditate on the holy names of God. Then when you chant, you will experience the most amazing things. You will feel how your consciousness is being elevated to a transcendental platform. Far, far beyond this world of birth and death. And the beauty of it is you'll still be rooted in this reality here. It's not that you'll be completely spaced out and you won't be able to function. You see, you'll be able to perform your worldly duties very nicely. Just like this is my disciple Damodar does. He is very advanced in this science of meditation. But at the same time, he's the programming director for one of the leading radio, for the leading, some of the leading radio stations in the Baltic countries. And maybe you've heard in Latvia, they have European Hit Radio. He's the programming director for European Hit Radio. So it's not that by chanting the mantra you can't function anymore. machine. He's so successful. One of the owners of this radio station wants him to take over even more responsibilities of the radio station. So it's not that by chant. The point is that if you connect yourself with God through regularly chanting mantra, you do not become disconnected from anything. Even though you know it's not you. Even though you know the body is not you. You become more expert at using it nicely. You're able to take even better care of your body than you did before. You'll be a better husband, a better wife, a better student, a better teacher. Whatever you're doing, you'll become better. If you're a businessman, you become a better businessman. If you're a doctor, you become a better doctor. Whatever you're doing, you become better at it. Because you will see the ultimate purpose behind everything. Everything now will make sense. You'll understand the underlying reality which supports this entire material existence. You'll be perfectly attuned with that underlying reality. And you'll become a well-wisher of all living beings on this planet. To help them achieve the same happiness that you have achieved. So this is what I'm doing in the order of my Guru Srila Prabhupada. I have come to your country to make all of you happy, to teach you all how to become perfect in spiritual life, and how even your material life can go on very, very nicely at the same time, automatically. So now if there's any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
I heard that God appears in sound vibration in mantra. Why he chooses this form, exactly this form, to appear here?
Why does God appear in the form of the sound vibration? Actually, God is absolute. So everything in relationship with God is also God. If I say your name, you are not present in the form of your name. Because you and your name are different. Because God is absolute, then God and the name of God are one and the same. So if I say Krishna, or I say Christ, or Allah, or Jehovah, God is present in that sound vibration. So, this is the mercy of God. This is His kindness. That even though He is so far, far away in the spiritual world, He has given us this internet connection that we can log into what some call the inner net. Simply by uttering His name. Just like you can log into the internet and be connected with all the computers all over the world. By chanting mantra, you're logging into the internet, which connects you with God and everything throughout all of existence. If the If in this material world they can give you the internet, why God cannot give you the internet? Do you think the scientists are more capable than God? Some scientists in the USA dreamed up the internet, you see. But they're mortal beings. So if some mortal scientist can dream up the internet, some USA scientist can dream up the internet, then what God could do? With his unlimited powers and his unlimited intelligence. So he has given us the internet with the mantra login. Any more questions?
Her mother is asking, maybe she is too old to chant mantra.
Is your mother here today?
Yes, she's there.
Too old? You're very young. I'm much older. I got gray hair. I'm a senior citizen. Hard of hearing. You know, I got so many things. I'm a certified old man. And I'm chanting this mantra with great delight. So there's no question of being too old for chanting mantra. Even if you're 100 years old, you can chant
mantra.
Any other question?
If our goal is to become liberated from duality, so my question is how we came here?
How we
came here?
Yes. How do we get in this state of illusion to begin with? Actually, our original position is in the kingdom of God. As servants of God. Just like the sparks, they are originally in the fire. But sometimes they come flying out of the fire. And when they get away from the fire, then they become extinguished. Gradually they go out and they die. So we have flown out of that fire of God's association, and now we are dying here in this material existence. We left that wonderful abode of God due to a foolish desire to want to enjoy independently from God. Because God is supremely independent. And because we are part of God, therefore we possess also the quality of independence. So if we misuse that independence, then we find ourselves in this world of birth and death. But if you properly use that independence now, you'll regain that position in the spiritual world. So the bona fide spiritual master teaches the disciple how to regain his original identity in the spiritual world. So that's what we are trying to do. We're trying to inspire all of you and guide all of you how to regain your original position in the pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual sky. So we hope you will take our teachings very seriously and all become the disciples. Any other questions?
Jeigu, tarkim, sveikas ir, nu, tarkim, suskaudo dantį ir meditacija jau šiaip nebegali medituoti, ir kaip geriau susikoncentruoti būtent mantrą, nes automatiškai dantį koncentruosi didelį skausmą. Kaip būtent turėtum teisingai nukreipti iš į kūną.
When one feels some pain, some teeth pain, so he cannot concentrate on mantra. So how he should act?
Actually, pain, you can use pain to help your meditation. You're feeling pain, how do you meditate? That's the question. So you use the pain to strengthen your meditation. Because what is the cause of pain? Bodily identification. If you realize it's not me, it's just the body, then it's all become much less painful. Just like if you're driving in your car and the gasoline gauge goes down to empty and you think, oh no, I'm out of gas. You may feel very horrible. I'm out of gas. But when you realize, no, I'm not out of gas, only the car is out of gas, then it's not so bad. It's just my car, it's not me. So in the same way, when a devotee of the Lord feels pain, he thinks this is a sensation happening within the body, it's not touching me. In this way, it's much less disturbing. In other words, a devotee, a mantra yogi meditator, is detached from the pains and pleasures of this body. He is relishing an unlimited pleasures within his heart at every minute. So the external bodily pains really don't faze him very much. They don't bother him very much. It's just like a warning light on your car's dashboard. It tells you have to do something. You have to go to the dentist. You got a toothache, see. It tells you have to take care of it, but it's not that you become devastated by it. You understand? Yeah, okay. Any other questions?
When one starts to make meditation, how one should know exactly details? Should he become a monk or choose different?
What lifestyle you should take? Actually, the position you should take is simply as according to Rupa Goswami. Dao Garashvayam. You simply take shelter of the spiritual master, that's all. And then whatever he advises, that's all. If he says you should become a monk, then you do that. Or if he says you should become a businessman and make a million litus for Krishna, you do that. Simply you surrender to Guru and under his guidance you can do anything, be successful. You, according to your own propensity, if you prefer to be a monk, you can do that. If you prefer to be a businessman or a professional, you can do that. Either, Whatever suits you the best, you're welcome to do that. But just offer the result to Krishna, that's all.
Iš principo, svarbu, kokį turite polinkį, tą ir darykite, ir ką bedarytumėte, visą tai paukokite.
But if you're not sure what would be the best for you, you can always consult with the spiritual master.
Bet jeigu nesant tikras, jūs galite konsultuoti su dvasiniu mokytoju.
Take his guidance to help you make your choice.
Priimti jo mokymus, kad padaryti tinkamą.
Spiritual master is the ultimate career counselor.
Dvasinis mokytojas yra tikras karjeros patarėjas.
Questions more?
Prašom klausimų.
Just like just like I have one disciple, she's a an actress in India, a TV actress. I never told her you have to give up being an actress and just come live in the ashram. I tell her you follow our principles of Krishna consciousness and be a successful actress.
Norėjau paklausti, išgirdau tokį paprastą dalyką, kai viena mergaitė krikščionė paklausė popiežiaus. Paprasto dalyko. Kodėl žmonės dabar šitame pasaulyje kenčia ir nėra laimės? Vėl vyksta karai, tai visos tos gamtinės anomalijos, kodėl tai vyksta? Ir popiežius niekam neatsakė. Sako, aš nežinau. Aš norėjau paklausti, gal jūs galėtumėt kaip nors tai atsakyti.
One girl asked Christian Pope, why so many miseries going in the world? And he cannot answer. Maybe you can give answer.
Yes, they don't have the knowledge that we have. That's fair. We know exactly why there are so many miseries in the world. Because they are disobeying the laws of God. They must be miserable. He's like a criminal who disobeys the laws of the state. He's always in anxiety about being caught. He has to keep his gun always by his side. He's always afraid of being captured. He lives in constant anxiety. Similarly, anyone who is violating the laws of God, they cannot be happy. Because deep down in their heart they know they are doing the wrong thing. So if you can follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, giving him all due respect, not seeing him as an ordinary man, then you'll have a life completely free of anxiety. And if the world will take up this pathway, they will have a world completely free of anxiety. Any other questions?
I read in Bhagavad Gita one verse, maybe you can comment, that intelligent understand that what is always changing, it is not exist, and what is not changing is exist.
Yes. That which is, I forget the exact statement, you remember that verse, it's a Gita verse. That which is something has no... Remember that verse exactly? I don't remember the exact verse. But the point is that this material world, even though it appears to be real, it has a reality, but it's not what it appears to be. That's the point. It's like if you go to a movie theater, It may appear that you're in the in Hawaii by watching on the movie screen. You feel now you're in Hawaii. Are you actually in Hawaii? No, you're in Lithuania. But does that mean the movie is false? It's unreal? No, it's real. It's a real screen. It's a real projector. There's real light being projected on the screen. So, and the point is that this material world, even though it has reality, it's not what it appears to be. It has no permanent existence. When Mahavishnu inhales, the entire material existence will go into a state of an unmanifested state. Whereas the spiritual reality never goes into an unmanifest state. The material world is always rotating between a manifested state and a non-manifested state. Therefore, you can never gain any permanent position of happiness here. So, if you can show me the exact verse, I can comment on it further, but I don't remember the exact... I know I've read that verse, I don't remember the exact verse. Anybody have that verse in the Gita? Do you know that verse? No? All right.
So the point is that our perception is illusionary, not reality.
Hmm?
So point is that our perception is an illusion?
Yes, we are seeing things in a false way. We are taking the body to be the actual self. When it is not. That's the main thing. You look in the mirror and you think, well, how do I look today? But that's not you. That's just a covering. So we're trained by the material society to see things in a distorted way. And therefore we live our lives in such a way that is not ultimately beneficial for our well-being. This is why a bona fide spiritual master is required. This is why saintly teachers and holy scriptures are required. Because they give us proper vision of what is real and what is not real. It's like if you put all your money in a false bank account, you lose everything. You want to put your money in a real bank account. So now we're investing all of our money in the false bank account of this body. At the end, we'll have nothing. But if you instead you can spend your energy in the service of God,
Krishna,
then you will get unlimited happiness. Does that answer your question?
You have previously
Yes, you answer because I was interested. Our bodies really exist or not exist? So you answer.
Your body does exist. But it's not what it appears to be. Just like that in the movie theater, it appears to be Hawaii, but actually it's just a screen with some colors dancing on it. It's real, but it's not what it appears to be. It appears that that body is you. But actually it's not. It's just a covering. Is that clear now? Okay, good. Any other questions? Yes.
Tie pirmieji požymiai
turėtų pasireikšti pirmą kartą kartuojant mantrą ir te klausant.
What we start to feel when we start to chant mantra.
That depends on the quality of your chanting. Some people feel sleepy and they go, Hare Krishna. Depends on the quality of your chanting. If you're very enthusiastic and you're very devoted to chanting, I'm in the proper mood of like a child crying for your mother. And immediately you'll feel great transcendental happiness rising up within you. But if you chant incorrectly, you'll be going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Where's the nectar? This is dry. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. You have to cry to Krishna. Like a child crying for its mother. That plea of the heart, that will attract the mercy of God. He will shower His blessings upon you if you chant like a you cry like a child pleading for getting its mother's mercy. Next question.
How I can remember this feeling when I was crying for mother, how to get this inspiration to chant in the same mood?
Just think if you're in the ocean and you're drowning and a ship came by, with how much feeling would you try to catch their attention? And that when help Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, in that mood you have to chant like a drowning person calling out to a passing ship. Or if you want to know, just look at a baby when it cries for its mother. You can see a baby crying for its mother. You ever been in a room where a baby is crying for its mother? It's pretty intense. Any other question? Yes.
You see, everybody is crying. Crying to the Lord to give me this and give me that, but we never want to serve the God.
So what's the question?
The question is that then why we are not crying for the other side also?
Okay.
Mes dažnai matome, kad žmonės verkia ir prašo Dievę, duok man to, duok man ano, bet retai matome, kad žmonės verktų dėl priešingų dalykų.
We're all very expert at crying to the Lord, give me money, give me a girlfriend, give me a boyfriend, give me a car, give me a job, give me a guitar. We're very expert at crying for those things. You see. Well, why don't we cry out for that we can serve the Lord? See, that's her question. The answer is, we don't realize what we actually need to be happy. We don't realize it. Because we think we're this body. We think our happiness is to get as much material sense gratification as possible. But when you realize you're not your body, and you're simply a spiritual being. That's who you really are, a spiritual being. And your real happiness is simply to have a loving service relationship with God, Krishna. Then, instead of begging, you know, give me money, give me a Cadillac, give me a brand new Cadillac, give me a, you know, recording contract with Sony Records, you know. Instead of crying for these things, we'll cry for Krishna. Cry that we can become a lover of God. Any other questions?
Tas klausimas?
Mokytojas pirmą tapo krišnaitų ar pirmą meditaciją atrado? Ir ar turi mokinių ne krišnaitų?
Question, you become first Hare Krishna and later start to meditate, or first you start to meditate?
Krishna consciousness is based on meditation.
Krishna sąmonės pagrindas yra meditacija.
When one becomes an initiated follower of Krishna, he agrees to meditate on the names of Krishna every day. That's part of our vow. We do daily meditation on the Hare Krishna mantra.
Žmogus, kuris gauna šventinimą, jisai tiesiog pasižada kartuoti kiekvieną dieną šventą vardą, atlikti šitą.
Actually, I started chanting and I meditated on the Hare Krishna mantra before I became a devotee.
Iš tiesų, aš pradėjau kartuoti šitą mantrą prieš tapdamas atsidavusiu.
I became a devotee so that I could perfect my meditation. I was already chanting Hare Krishna even before I became a Hare Krishna devotee. I was previously a singer-songwriter. Back in the days of the countercultural revolution in the U.S. And I was already chanting Hare Krishna on my own, and I loved it. But I realized that I wanted to take it really seriously and perfect it. Instead of being a casual amateur chanter, I wanted to become a full-on professional chanter. So then I became a disciple of the master. So I could master the chanting.
Kad galėčiau tapti meistru. And second part, do you have your disciples who are not Hare Krishna?
Do I have any disciples who are not Hare Krishna? Actually, I have many students all over the world. I have, on my e-course, I have 13,000 students. And not all of them are members of the Hare Krishna movement. But people who become serious my serious students, they all end up becoming Hare Krishna devotees sooner or later. Because everybody likes to follow their guru. But you don't have to. If you want to be my student and learn this meditation art, you don't have to join the Hare Krishna movement.
Okay.
You can do it. You can learn from me as a non-Hare Krishna. I'll be happy to teach you. You don't have to be a Hare Krishna to be my student. Any other questions? Well, I guess our time's running out. And now the next phase is we have the books. For those of you who found this information to be very interesting and enlightening, we have published some books so that you'll be able to retain and remember what you heard today by reading it in the books. And anyone who takes a book today, I will give you a special written blessing in your book. So you get your book and you come over here and I'll give you a written blessing. So we thank you very much. Hare Krishna.